Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's Monday evening, and we are here. It's the Trainwreck Radio Show coming to you live from the Patriot Nation Radio Network. It's me, Mark Hoffman, your host, and my co-host, Charlotte Sines. We're going to kick this show off. And the intent is to go to Article 4, but again, anything can happen to derail the train and cause a train wreck. We'll be back right after this. This is the Trainwreck Radio Show on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And it's going to tell me I need Adobe to hit the button. What is wrong with this thing? Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we call this Trainwreck Radio. And I'm loving it. I'm loving life. Oh, all kinds of things are happening. I guess the October surprise is getting ready to roll out from WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. He's taking his announcements from the balcony to the indoors as he's been threatened with a drone strike by, basically by Hillary Clinton. They're just going to go out and drone people that threaten their way of life. Here we go. Be back after this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Let me get a unit to FDR on 112. Shots fired.
At DaveBrayUSA.com. Definitely want to check the video out. I worked with an organization called LESMA. It's a media watchdog for police officers when officers and law enforcement are being misrepresented in social media and all these different causes that are out there, you know, sort of pushing the blame. You know, they go out and they break laws for no reason just to prove that the cops, A, have to be police. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They uphold the laws because that's their job. Whether they're passive laws or aggressive laws, they go out and break them for the reason of to get a police response, which is just wasting taxpayer dollars, and I wish people would see that. These cops are putting themselves in harm's way on a daily basis. When your dad's a police officer and he goes to work, he straps on a gun and a badge. But these people are going into harm's way, you know. And it's an honorable job. It's one of the hardest jobs, and it takes a special person. And I think in this day and age, we should be rallying behind them. But this song, Last Call, is about a fallen officer sort of giving his last sort of will and testament over the radio after he's been in a gunfight and he's hit and he's pinned down and he's not going to make it. And he just sort of gives his words.
Stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden, end of watch, February 27, 2016. May you rest in peace.
Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Buy this gear to support efforts by like-minded patriots in Texas who met at the first Stand By Me for Liberty rally. The group is lending their time and efforts to help political prisoners to let them know they are not being forgotten. Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com and buy some gear and show your patriotic support for those who are standing for liberty.
Was free. So, brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, folks, here we go. The Trainwreck Radio Show on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, ready to kick off. Here we go, rock and roll. What's happening? Say hello, everybody, to our co-host, and our constitutional genius, compared to me, that is.
I was going to say, don't call me a genius on anything, please.
Genius.
Yeah.
You know, like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, that would be a very, very tiny cape.
Yes. What's happening? How are you?
Oh, there you go. Jim just said a bib turned around backwards for me. Yes, absolutely. a preemie size bib turned around backwards, no less, or maybe one for a Barbie doll. Anyway, things are going pretty good. We've had an interesting weekend. Gotten to a, I'm not going to say a debate, probably a, I don't know. I'm going to have to be polite because of the person that I was debating with online happens to be rather well followed within the community, but they posted something from Pro Dapple. The name of the outlet says it all, but they have a, they have a disclaimer on their media page. This is meant allegedly, this is supposed to be a news website, okay? They're not even satire. This place just, yeah. They posted an article that alleges all sorts of spurious false allegations against the water defenders up there in North Dakota,
right.
Making all sorts of horrible allegations against them. No names, no names of reporters or witnesses or anything. I mean, I can understand not naming any of the alleged victims, but no names of witnesses, no names of alleged reporters, just, you know, we've got boots on the ground. No photographs, no video, nothing. Okay. And it smacks of propaganda. It smacks of the occurrences that happened with the feds impersonating our patriots in Oregon. And this person posted it without any commentary. And so I wasn't really sure where this person stood. So when I saw it, I was shocked, and I asked for some proof of the allegations, some citations of sources, anything. And I wasn't alone in my questioning of these facts. And quite a few hours later, the individual comes back with name-calling, very emotional response, referring to me as a wacko, accusing me of and others of reliance upon global warming and manipulating and emotional. I mean, just all sorts of different things, and throwing myself and others into the same category as the government, with attempting to use global warming as a means for forcing middle class and working class. And of course, then they had to pull the infants and children in, you know, the put our children card into the mix. And I thought, oh my gosh, this person is pro-pipeline. Not just pro-pipeline, but as I continued to debate with this individual over the course of the weekend, this individual had once worked in the pipeline industry for the first 12 years of their working career. And this person is probably in their 50s, early 60s. So it's been a good while back. I was like floored, just absolutely floored. But this is someone who regularly attests and preaches online about the 9th and 10th Amendment rights of America and the Constitution, and decries.
Is he a captain?
And yes, he is a captain, and he declares. Yeah, and he declares how the Constitution is the law of the land. Well, you know, in one of my comments, you know, I said that because it was in response to the wacko comment, I said, if you're addressing me with that, then you obviously don't know me at all, because I do study the Constitution and the founding documents in their entirety, and I don't just go around picking chapter and verse, the chapters and verses that I like.
Right. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately,
you know, I had him on the show, and I asked him why they call him Captain. He says, "Cause like I got a little boat."
Are you kidding me?
He had a boat, and he was a captain once. He had like a 20-foot boat or something. He's not a captain because he's in the military. He's not never been in the military.
So he's never been in the military.
No, he's Captain Call because he had a vessel. Not Captain
so he
Call
has
because
that,
he's in the military.
He has that captain moniker because he once owned a 20-foot personal vessel.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact size of his boat, but it wasn't like a ship. I can assure you, it wasn't a ship.
Oh my heavens! Well, anyway, it tickled me. You know, and finally, I guess I just, yeah. Overwhelmingly, the commentary on there was pro the Water Defenders, and I could see with the way it was going that I had to disengage because I did not want it to become an argument between just he and I. And I finally disengaged with, I can no longer engage in a debate with someone who is so entrenched in their own rhetoric that they refuse to look at things from outside and see that there's something wrong, because he kept relying on his experiences from his first 12 years of work. And I had to remind him that it's not the older pipelines, like he referred to the Alaska pipeline. Well, that one's above ground, first of all. So when there have been leaks along that pipeline, and there have been, they're found and caught early enough to where the spills are, for the most part, small. They rarely interfere in water, and they don't create such huge environmental disasters as what we're looking at potentially occurring here. Secondly,
they've seen these disasters all over the place now, too. You know?
Exactly.
They're everywhere. You see all kinds of things happening. It seems almost
Correct.
Seems like they're messing with the water on purpose. It's weird how all
well,
of a sudden,
they are.
All the water is getting poisoned from Flint, Michigan, to the phosphate plant in Florida. They're building pipelines and they're destroying the river in Colorado and just one by one.
Well, when you consider that 75% or more of the water across the United States has tested positive for more than trace amounts of chromium 6, which is known as the Aaron Brockovich carcinogen, that chromium 6, which causes cancer, the one that Aaron Brockovich became famous for, 75% of the water in the United States and all of CONUS, and I'm assuming that includes Hawaii and Alaska, but I'm simply going to refer to the 48, that you know, the 48 continental United States. That 75% of the water is tainted with chromium 6. Now, what does the federal government do in response to that? Well, they simply issue higher standards or higher amounts that are, okay, elevated allowable amounts. And yet, when you think about it, those of us, you know, Mark, you and I were in the same age group, you know, mid-late 40s. When you cast your mind back to when we were children, our peers didn't come down with cancer the way children your son's age do now. Okay, your son is in kindergarten. And when you look at the numbers of children coming down with cancer now, it's related to the water. And it occurred to me today when I was walking through our Walmart, we had to go pay our rent. I'm not even going to go into that, but we had to go pay rent. We had to pick up some dog food, and they've rearranged the entire Walmart. And the baby food aisle happens to be now across from where the dog food is kept, with a big, huge main aisle. And there's the baby formula water, infant water is what it's called. And it occurred to me that people now have to buy bottled, distilled infant water to make their formula in for a reason. For a reason. When I was feeding my son formula, because he refused to breastfeed, and we're not getting to that on radio either, but I just used the tap water. Yeah, I boiled it, but, you know, I used the tap water. And it, when I used to see these bottled waters, I was like, what in the hell are people paying water? You know, why are they buying bottled water for? That's stupid. Just use tap water. Now I know why. Does it remove the chromium 6 from it? Probably not. But it still removes a whole lot of other things from it. But it's sad when you think about it. It's really sad. And PepsiCo comes out and admits that their Aquafina is just regular old tap water.
Yeah.
Just regular old tap water. They don't do anything.
Maybe Fina means tap water.
No, Fina means fine. Aqua means water. Fine water. It's not fine water. It's tap water.
Right. It's just, you know, clean tap water. They put some chlorine and some fluoride in it and send it out and make everybody, you know, watch mainstream TV.
Yeah, it's frightening when you consider that. And I rarely watch television news, very rarely. But just last week, I decided to look at our local news, because at least in a small town, local news is not full of, at 7th and Jefferson, there was a 27 car pile up, and over on 5th and Main, we had 25 people murdered. You know, at least we get, you know, some decent halfway news. And the reason I watched last week was because of a recent issue with water bills, because of the Abilene City Council deciding to, for whatever reason, not necessarily read people's meters. And people's water bills in August had doubled and tripled and quadrupled, even though their usage had not increased. And it turned out that in many cases, the meters had not been read. They'd been guesstimated. And in other cases, some people had increased their usage into another tier. And there's this state tier system that allows them to grossly increase the pricing if you go into the next tier. I mean, just really stupid stuff. But then right on the heels of that story, they told us that the counties that are covered by this particular news channel had done some water testing. Six of the seven counties tested positive for chromium. Only one did not. I happen to be living in six of those seven counties that tested positive.
See? So
yeah. I mean, it's like, well, lovely, you know. It sickens me to know that the federal government and the local governments, because the local governments do defer to the FDA and the EPA and everyone else for their standards, they just don't care. They simply don't. And even if we were as regular people to take a sample of our water, you know, say go to wherever our water is pulled from, say the lake or the aquifer or wherever, and try to send it for an independent test, you would have to go to a private university, and very likely you'd have to send it overseas to Finland or, you know, Sweden or something like that, because that's the only way you're going to get a truly independent testing of your water. If you keep it within the continental United States, you're not going to get a truly independent test.
Right. And that's not the only thing that's in the water. I have a friend who I speak with on occasion, and his name is Chuck. And his page right now, Mid-America Land Restoration.
Mm-hmm.
What his site is doing is tracking the nuclear radiation that is leaking out of the Fukushima nuclear reactor. And it's still leaking, folks.
Oh, yeah.
And it's leaking at a breakneck pace. And what's happening is the water in the Pacific Ocean, you know, does its thing. It evaporates, goes up into the atmosphere, gets in the clouds, and turns into rain.
Yep.
Well, guess what? It takes 21 days for it to evaporate from the Pacific Ocean, get up into the jet stream, and go right over mid-America and rain on our crops with nuclear waste.
Mm-hmm.
The nuclear levels in our soil, in our crops, in our water is unbelievable, the amount. And you know what? I'm going to get Chuck to come on the show again and talk
yes.
about it. It'll be in November, of course, because I'm clearly booked all the way now to like November 13th or something. But I'm going to get him back on the show, and we'll talk about how bad the radiation and the nuclear poisoning is in America. Like it's marked by CPM, I believe is what it's called. It's like something parts per million,
mm-hmm.
and average is normal is like 30. 100
mm-hmm.
is high. When it gets up to 300, it's like an emergency. But we're at like 1,000 parts per million
mm-hmm.
of nuclear waste. It's like way over the top. You wouldn't believe how much radiation is coming from Fukushima nuclear reactor. And my in-laws just went and visited my wife and mine's nephew over in San Diego, Mexico area. He's got a little place just over the border in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he moved to Mexico, but he's a Bernie Sanders supporter, so that might have something to do with it. But yeah, this is his family, direct family, Bernie Sanders supporter, pretty scary. And they're sending pictures back of them all swimming in the Pacific Ocean, and I'm like cringing, going, oh, my God. These
right.
guys are going to be growing things off their flesh if they keep swimming mm-hmm. in that water. But if you go check out Mid-America Land Restoration / Microbes and Probiotics. They have a plan and a way to get the radiation out of the soil so that it doesn't grow in the crops. And that's what the land restoration microbes and stuff is all about, and probiotics. But we're going to get him on the show. We're going to talk about that. He'll come on. He'll gladly come on and talk about it. You'll be unbelievably blown away. And I'll contact
Good.
Him later. And what I'll do is I'll have him send me the most recent numbers that he gets, because he monitors, I guess there's monitoring stations, and he's on top of it. He's
mm-hmm.
part of the whole thing.
Good.
And I'll post the numbers to our group chat, and wait till you see. You won't believe your eyes how high the nuclear radiation is across America because of Fukushima. It's in California. It's in Louisiana. It's in North Dakota up by the pipeline. It's in New York. It's across the country. The Fukushima nuclear waste reactor is still
yeah.
leaking, and it has not even been attempted to be fixed. They're not fixing it.
No.
Not only that, but my friend Chuck also told me that Chernobyl is having issues again. They had a big fire over there, and some stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
So Chernobyl's leaking, too. So it's pretty crazy what's happening. And so it's not
it
just this stuff in the water. There's more in the water now than that. But
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that has a big part to do with the rise in childhood cancer cases, for sure.
Oh, well, it has to be. And when I hear people like Captain Carl with one of his most ridiculous statements in this whole thread was, energy is the lifeblood of freedom. I'm not kidding you.
Well,
he
now
actually
you guys
said
know who
that.
The captain is. You know who the captain
oh.
is now, folks.
Oh, my gosh. I nearly fell out. I had to actually copy and paste that, because then I went and had to figure out when oil was discovered. It was officially discovered around 1859. So I got
yeah,
on
yeah,
my
I know
smart.
How.
Okay.
I know how it was discovered.
So
grandma
I go and get on
and,
my.
But grandma and the Beverly Hillbillies, they were sitting on the porch with the gun, and they shot the ground, and it came oozing out. I seen a TV show.
You're so silly. So anyway, yeah, you're right. You're right. Jed Clampett and Co.
Yeah,
discover
yeah.
it, and they moved to Beverly. Anyhow, but no, I mean, I'm sitting there. I'm cracking up. Okay. I'm like, oh, really? So that's the lifeblood of freedom. All right. So I copied and pasted that, and I put it not only in that thread, but then I copied and posted it in the main portion of the thread, because you know some people don't read comments or replies to threads. And I said, you know, I am so happy that our founders were able to repay all the debt from the Revolutionary War with all the dollars that they earned from petroleum.
Wow.
I said, oh wait, no, they couldn't have done that. because it wasn't discovered until 1859, right before the Civil War. Well, I'll be dadgummed. How did they pay off the Revolutionary War debt? You know, I was like, what do you mean it's, and then I said, and by the way, it's not freedom. The word you're looking for is liberty, but I digress. You know, the stupid was just compounded by the stupid. It was literally burning my brain. It is not, energy is not the lifeblood of liberty in this nation. And if we cannot get ourselves from being dependent upon big oil, nuclear, et cetera, and so on, and start looking for things that are renewable, water is not renewable. The Native American Mini-Wacom is the mispronunciation of the native term that they're using up there. Water is life. It truly is. We cannot survive without oxygen for very long at all. We will be brain dead within minutes. 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. And that's it. Folks, we have to have water to live. We cannot renew it. It does not renew. So we have to have it. The Gulf of Mexico is still reeling from the BP oil spill that occurred, 8 years ago?
Yep.
I don't eat seafood anymore at all. And I used to
I try to avoid it.
I used to love seafood.
I can catch stuff here locally. I can get good stuff here locally with a fishing pole in the rivers. But, you know, if I can catch it myself, that's not so bad, you know.
Right.
But
fresh water.
I posted on our group.
Fine.
On our
I saw
group
that.
Page.
Thank you.
That's from September 10th to September. Oh, I put the 27th. It's September 24th. And that will give you, so you will, when you look at the numbers, your eyes will pop out of your head when you see the, you know, he always gives a little explanation before so you understand a little bit. And then the numbers in the thousands in some states, and they're supposed to be at like 100, you know, 30 or something like that, really low. It's crazy.
Right. It is. It's uncanny what we're dealing with here. It's, one does not have to be part of the Green Party, okay, and follow Jill Stein. And one is not a wacko. If to have a care for non-renewable natural resources. That is having a true concern for liberty and life. It truly is. It doesn't make someone out in the fringe element to have a concern for posterity because you want to have fresh, clean drinking water, clean air, and viable soil upon which to grow crops and to have grazing grasses for your animals. Because we all have to eat, we all have to drink, and we all have to breathe in order to survive. It's just common sense, I would think.
All right, check this out. I don't know how far you are from El Paso, Texas. All right, I'm going to read here real fast, folks. They're measured in radiation is rated by counts per minute. And it counts as one radioactive decay registered by the monitoring instrument. And in this list, the top highest rated cities that are being blasted by nuclear radiation. And normal is 5 to 20 counts per minute. And I'm going to go back down and let's try to find this El Paso, Texas. El Paso, Texas is currently at 1,092 counts per minute. Normal is 5 to 20. That's El Paso, Texas, and their beta and gamma rays coming through.
Good night.
It's unbelievable what's happening. And that's El Paso, Texas. That's so far away from Fukushima.
Yeah.
You guys are getting it. And then I'm going to scroll down here and try to find Florida population, there's a whole article that attached with this, but it gives a lot of the cities, and he posts this information to me on a regular basis. But it's pretty scary. Albuquerque, New Mexico, 1,059 counts per minute. the highest in the country right now with radiation is Portland, Maine. Now, how far is Portland, Maine away from Fukushima? They're at 1,700 counts per minute, 340 times the normal amount of radiation. Folks, normal radiation is 5 to 20 counts per minute. When it gets to 300, it's an emergency, and you have to get the hell out of there, clear out. It's dangerous. You're going to die. You're going to get radiation poisoning. And these rates are just unbelievable. And now back to our regularly scheduled train wreck radio.
Well, these are important things for people to know. It's important for people to realize from a constitutional standpoint that And I always refer back to the cod fishery debates. Ladies and gentlemen, take the time to Google or Bing or whatever search engine you choose the cod fishery debates between Mr. Livermore and Mr. James Madison. Okay? Read it. It is a beautiful debate when Mr. Madison was a House representative, a U.S. House representative. It was when Mr. Livermore was attempting to use the general welfare phrase out of Section Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, okay, in order to get Congress, the House, to pass legislation. And you, as we have learned in this course of study, that the House is the generator of funds. They have the power of the purse. He was attempting to get the cod fishing industry some financial support from the federal government. And Mr. Madison argued against it. Mr. Livermore was saying, well, the general welfare of the United States, this industry is suffering. It would be within the general welfare. And Mr. Madison argued that if we support this industry, it will be the same as supporting public education, public religion, public this, public that. And in the future, look what we could possibly have. Now, folks, look what we do now have under the executive branch of the federal government. We have the Environmental Protection Agency, the Food and Drug Administration, the Department, the DEA, which is the Drug Enforcement Agency. All of these extraneous and unconstitutional agencies, as defined and interpreted by Mr. Madison, who was one of the founding fathers and one of the framers of our Constitution, who obviously in this argument, in the cod fishery debates, explaining that that is not what general welfare means. Now, if he understood it then, why do our people not understand this now? We don't need the federal government telling us how to run things. And when you have the fox guarding the hen house, you cannot complain when you no longer have any hens because the fox has gobbled them all up. So when you have the Food and Drug Administration telling you that a drug is safe, and then within a year of that drug being out on the market, you have a plethora of law firms advertising class action suits because of the various dangerous side effects and death caused by that drug, do we not have a problem? When you have the food, you know, a federal agency saying that the water is safe to drink, and then you've got outside agencies like the Mid-America Land Restoration and Aaron Brockovich and other people saying, really, no, it's not. We have a problem. We don't need the federal government doing that. Joseph Story was an associate justice in the Supreme Court, and he wrote commentaries to the Constitution. And he said very clearly that the federal government should be focusing on four things, outside things: making war, making peace, negotiating treaties, and foreign commerce, and that is it. And yet everything that the federal government does, for the most part, in addition to those things, focuses on things that are inward, things that affect our domestic tranquility on a daily basis. We have to pay federal income taxes. We have to get permits to do this. We have to pass background checks to purchase a firearm. It's just one thing after another. They're no longer focusing on simply the four outward jobs that they were established to do. And look at what right. has resulted from it. We have, under the Department of Interior, we have so many agencies in there, not the least of which is the one, is one of them, a very small agency that handles minerals, which helps to enable big oil and other energy industries that are not renewable and clean to rape, pillage, and plunder the earth. And as a result, right. they end up affecting those of us who are poor and disenfranchised. Because look at where these pipelines, these newer pipelines are and who they're hurting. They're not hurting wealthy people in wealthy enclave neighborhoods. They're hurting middle class people and lower middle class and lower class people who are not capable of taking these companies to court and saying, you need to clean up the mess you made.
Yes, indeed. There's a big mess going on all across this country. And it's just crazy. But there is some good news, folks.
What's that?
And now this is the train finding another path. Seems they have dropped the gun charges on Shauna Cox in the Oregon Malia Refuge takeover.
Really?
Oh, we got some good news. They dropped the weapons charges on Shauna. So, I mean, I think things might be moving in the right direction up there in Oregon. We'll see, you know. I know that they're trying to drop the hammer on all these. They're trying to drop the hammer on all these guys over in Nevada now. The current presidential nomination on the right has sent some folks out to Oregon to talk to people, and I guess he's on the side of the people in this. So we'll see what happens. If he gets elected, we might have a chance. You know, because I know what made me think of this was one of those little departments inside the Department of Interior, I believe is the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, and of course the Park Service is under them too, right? The Park Service, I think, is under
yes.
them, a couple others. And that just reminded me of Shauna and the charges being dropped out there.
And the Bureau of Indian Affairs, too. Yeah, isn't that interesting that the Bureau of Indian Affairs is under the Department of Interior?
Last time
anyway,
I checked, Indians lived in the Middle East. Yes, my friend, they come to your country to ride cats. And the people that live here, they're not Indians. They are Native Americans. I have a friend of mine. He's Apache Pima. I haven't talked to him in a long time. I lost contact with him, unfortunately. But, that's what he says. He's, you know, they're not Indian. Although a lot of them call themselves Indians, made it clear that he's a Native American. He didn't want to be called an Indian. I don't know how that is with all the Native Americans in this country, but him in particular.
I think it depends on who they are. Because some will say they want to be called American Indians, not Native Americans, because everybody born here is a Native American. I mean, it all depends. You know, it really, really all depends on who they are and how they perceive themselves. And so it's just one of those things when it comes to PC, you're just kind of stuck. I guess you could just go with the indigenous and stick with that. But, you know, even that, you're like, all righty then, you know, but. Whatever. It just one of those take it with each person individually kind of thing, you know. But, excellent news with regard to Shauna Cox. I had a feeling that based on the Oregon Live article from Maxine, the quote from the judge that she gave, that there was going to be very little that the prosecution was going to be able to do to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. And since they'd already rested and they hadn't produced any real evidence, that they were going to really have no other choice but to drop the charges. So that right there is excellent. Of course, she's still on those conspiracy charges, but hopefully the jury will grow a clue and get that figured out. We can only hope. Maybe some of that radiation will give them an extra brain cell or two.
From what I can tell, they're burning the brain cells. I don't know.
And
if
it does stop
firing up the brain cells, I'm in trouble, because I had a fun party life in the 80s, and I don't have so many left.
That's
sorry
cute.
To say.
That's
sorry
cute.
To say, you know, maybe I got like 5 or 6 left. You know, they're firing on all cylinders, though. Thankfully, there's enough of them to keep me awake.
At least you can earn a living and feed the kid. That's good.
That's it. Some say I'm a savant.
You mean like an idiot?
You know. Yeah. Yes,
sorry, had to.
Hey, look at this. I'm scrolling around and I see here that the Amish are backing Trump.
Oh, wow.
How do they even know who's running? Don't they have, like, no electronics, no TV? Did Trump head over to Lancaster, like, get on a horse and buggy and ride out to the Amish town? I mean, how do they even know?
I'm pretty,
they got a guy
I'm pretty sure they can use
the
a
town.
Newspaper, dear. You smart,
yeah,
Alec.
I actually really like Amish people. I think they got the right idea, almost.
Oh,
yeah. The polygamy part, maybe not so much, but the living off the grid, living off the land, no electric, no phones, no TVs, that's not so bad. I think if we all lived like that, when the shit hit the fan, it would just be hitting the fan and it'd be another day and on we'd move.
There you go.
And survive, because the Amish people are going to be the ones that are going to really survive. You know, they will really survive when this stuff happens. They're already surviving the natural way, so. They're a bunch of good folks. I love the Amish. They're like rednecks. I love rednecks, too, man. I have not met a redneck that I do not like yet here in Florida. So far, I like them all. They're excellent. And they know how to do stuff with duct tape and things, you know? Like, it's crazy.
Well, this is true. Duct tape is pretty handy.
I'm guessing that MacGyver was a redneck. He had to be a redneck.
Oh, gosh.
He had to be. Because only rednecks can do, like, you know, only a redneck can build a tank with a paperclip, a roll of duct tape, 2 screws, and a hammer. And all of a sudden, he's got a tank. I mean, only a redneck can do that. So MacGyver.
And it's a functioning tank. It's a functioning tank.
Right. It works, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Hey, I had my air conditioner break here in Florida a couple of years ago. And I was on one of these websites, and they had the redneck air conditioner. Basically,
oh, no.
What the redneck air conditioner was a styrofoam cooler. And they took solo cups, and they cut holes in the side of the cooler, and they stuck the cups through it for vent. They took a block of dry ice, dropped it inside the cooler, cut a hole in the lid to fit an 8-inch fan, put the fan in the hole, turned the fan on, and it blew the cold air through the cups.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my air conditioner broke, and I made a redneck air conditioner, and I put it at the end of my bed, and I slept like a baby. It worked. God bless the redneck.
That's right. There you go.
We're
not
amazing.
All stupid.
No. The stupid ones are the ones a lot of the ones I left behind when I came to Florida. The ones that will allow, the ones that would sit there and allow a Ground Zero Muslim museum to be built 2 blocks from the World Trade Center in downtown Manhattan. I hard to get out of there. Those folks, I talk to my friends sometimes, and they got the mosque. They got rid of the Ground Zero mosque. Yay!
Good.
So the developer goes, we're just going to make a museum, a Muslim museum. Well, let me tell you what's going to be in that museum. There'll be a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a prayer room, which will be considered a mosque. They'll have prayer. The Ground Zero mosque will happen one way or the other. And it's pretty crazy. Because you know what a mosque symbolizes in the Muslim religion? Victory. So they view what they did in downtown Manhattan as a victory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ground Zero Muslim Museum. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Only in America. You know, you got to figure it's only going to be a short amount of time before someone figures out how to take advantage of our generosity in this country and the American spirit and wanting to help people out and not, you know, give everybody a chance. And now folks are taking advantage and using our laws and our things against us, saying, well, we have freedom of religion in America. And we classify Islam as a religion when it's a political ideology. And that's how they're taking advantage of it.
Don't get me started.
Well, why not?
Because you don't have enough beeps in you. You just don't have enough beeps in you tonight, I don't think.
Gotcha.
No. Oh, goodness.
The word comes out,
and
then you hear beep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no.
Buttons off. It doesn't match with the curse words.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We would have to delete the rest of the show, and it just wouldn't be pretty. So, speaking of, though, the whole VA, and, you know, with getting me on tangents, the whole VA scandal and what's going on with that, why can't we just get rid of the VA?
Right.
I mean, I'm just so done. I am so over the VA.
Yes, indeed. Now, did you see any of Trump's little speech today in Virginia when he got down with retired? He sat down in a room with retired military brass, you know, generals and admirals and Colonel Allen West, I guess he was there, and he's reporting that whatever CNN is reporting right now is bullcrap because he was in the front row. And so right now CNN is lying about his speech today already, but he was talking about if a veteran can't get in at the VA doctor, that's fine and dandy. And he could just go across the street to the private doctor or go down the street to the hospital. He can use private doctors. Any hospital or doctor that they want, a veteran can use. He does not just have to go to the VA. That's the way
it should
be.
Who said
that? Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, that's the way it should be.
Today.
Yeah, because, and these people that keep saying, well, the Veterans Choice Card, yeah, I have one of those. Makes a great bookmark. implementing it, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck with that. I mean, good freaking luck with that, because you're not going to get an appointment with it. It's just another wasted time, more wasted tax dollars, and not in the program because they don't spend any of them that were allocated. But the tax dollars that were wasted on the alleged representatives that sat up there and bloviated and whined and cried and whatever on passing the damn thing. It doesn't do anything. It does absolutely nothing. If I go to the emergency room as a veteran, the VA doesn't pay the claim unless I went in there on what the VA considers to be an honest to God emergency. And an honest to God emergency to them is life threatening. So the fact that I live in a town that only has a 9-to-5, or I should say an 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday clinic, I have to literally be near death to use any other facility and have the VA pay for it.
It's crazy. And as a veteran, you shouldn't have to worry about that. You should be able to just go in with your card and go, hi, I'm a veteran. Here I am. Okay, you're next. You know, whatever.
And the nearest VA hospital to me is 2-hour drive west, and it no longer has an urgent care clinic. It only has an emergency room. And I don't know, and I do not know that the emergency room is even still open anymore in that particular hospital.
One thing I keep telling folks, too, is, you know, these candidates can go up on the stage and stand behind a podium and make all these promises. And if you have a shred of common sense, you think to yourself, and if you have a shred of how your governmental system works, you have an idea,
mm-hmm.
he could promise the world he's going to build a wall. Guess what he has to do first? He has to go through Congress. He has to figure out how Congress is going to get on board. And if Congress don't agree with building a wall, you're never going to see a wall.
Right.
You're never going to see him fix the VA hospital or whatever, because it all has to, he can't just go, okay, today I'm going to fix this. You know, okay, now we're in the new age of executive orders, and presidents now write executive orders like never before, especially Bush
mm-hmm.
and Obama. And he may just jump on that executive order train, cancel all of Obama's executive orders, and write a whole bunch of his own. Who knows? But he can't just build a wall, folks. You know, it's nice. It strikes a chord with people, you know, who want to end this illegal immigration, what's happening in this country, this invasion, what's occurring. But, you know, especially with the Republican Party just basically, you know, rebelling against them, you know. I mean, they're not even backing them fully. More and more are coming around little by little, you know.
Yeah.
But
The only thing, and this is – me, and I'm stepping outside of my staunch constitutional box here. The only way I would support an executive order from any executive would be for them to write an order to one of their cabinet positions, you know, one of those departmental positions, and say, I want Congressional Act X enforced to the letter.
Right.
Now do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that's what the executive order is supposed to be. Now, it's not constitutional because it's not in the Constitution that they're supposed to be writing executive orders, technically speaking. But because he's got that cabinet and what all, but all those agencies aren't really supposed to be there. But because they're there, and until we get rid of them, which is not ever going to happen overnight, it would be one of those things of, okay, well, Congressional Act, whatever, whatever, from, you know, 1940, whatever, says that we're supposed to make sure that this doesn't happen, so I want it enforced. And it doesn't necessarily mean building a wall in the literal sense, but it does mean we don't do catch and release anymore. This is not a fishing license. Border Patrol, you don't let them over. You tell them, hey, oye, muévete, turn around, go back. And if you got to set up a pumping station of water along the Rio Grande and all along the rest of the southern border for them to fill up their little jugs of water to turn around and go back, then so be it. I'm all for being humane about it, you know, but other than that, no. You don't come in.
I don't. And on that note,
I mean, cause how stupid is it that we don't let a Canadian in because they check on the little, I want to come visit America. Have you ever smoked pot before? Yes, I have. Boom, you can't come visit. But our southern border is more porous than a cheesecloth.
Yes, indeed. And right now we got about 6 minutes left in the program here. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an awesome show on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Happens at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Friday nights, called Constitutional Truth with my co-host Charlotte Sines. She's got a Facebook page. How do they find your Facebook page for the Constitutional Truth?
They use the at sign. They use the at sign. Type in Constitutional Truth. Char Signs, that's S as in Sam, I, N as in Nancy, E-S. And the Char is C-H-A-R, and that's how they find me. They can look at what we got going on there. They can hit like. They can hit event updates, and that way they'll know when the show's going to be on. Listen in on the show. Dial the telephone number. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. And our good friend WH, bless his heart, they're going to be on working on Friday. So he and I may be doing some stuff coming Saturday nights together when he's not working, so that we can discuss some things that he's really got. That young man has some knowledge like nobody's business. So we may be bringing some more stuff on Saturday nights, because that night's free on Patriot Nation Radio. So we may be bringing a new show.
Got a couple of nights free, but that'd be awesome. I would really like to have a veteran show on Tuesday, if somebody wants to do a veteran show.
Well, you may get that coming your way, too, because I get a lot of information through my email on veterans issues, so you may be getting that coming as well.
Because it would be good. I would like to, like, you know, have a show that supports veterans, that's hosted by a veteran who, you know, does a lot of veterans advocacy type stuff. That would be great, because, you know, I'm always for the veterans. In fact, I got a Veterans Day show coming up. It's going to include Dave Bray, whose son, Riken, is going through an infection in his hip bone. And he's looking for, and they have no medical insurance since Madison Rising booted him out of the band. They lost their insurance. And the medical bills are piling up, folks. So head on over to DaveBrayUSA.com. I'm sure there's a link there. Search him out on Facebook. And if you can help out, they got a GoFundMe going to help with the medical expenses. They're piling up quickly.
They do.
And then that's going to also include Gold Star Mother, whose son was killed in the Ganj Gal ambush. She spoke here in the Tampa rally, and that was the one who introduced Donald Trump. And her name is Susan Price. She's going to be joining us. And I've got semi-confirmation of from Karen Vaughn, whose son was killed in Extortion 17. I want to honor the veterans that gave the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, and, of course, the Gold Star Mothers, because, folks, like I said many times on the show, and I'll say it over and over again, the guy who goes into the service is not the only person making the sacrifice. When someone joins the military and goes to a war zone, a whole family makes a sacrifice. And it's important to remember these folks, because they're going in harm's way to protect people like this nerd who sits down, takes a knee during a national anthem on 9/11 from the 49ers. I try not to say his name because I don't want to give him the publicity. But those folks may be coming on Veterans Day, on the Veterans
Day
special, November 10th. November 10th. Should be a good one.
Excellent. Awesome.
Of course, I got folks like Judge Doucette's going to come on with his friend Roger Dowdle. I have Butch, Butch Eaton. Butch Eaton is going to come on. He's going to make up for bumping his head and missing the Constitutional Truth Show.
That's okay.
He really bumped his head bad, and he got a concussion. He gave himself a concussion. He'll be coming on the 6th with Judge Doucette. And we got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. I got a lot of guests. I got a lot of things going on. And sure, I want to thank you for joining us again tonight. You're always so informed and know what's going on and paying attention. And I like to get good information out to the people. And I thank you so much for coming on and joining us on the Patriot Nation Radio Network and the Trainwreck Radio Show.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on. It's always enjoyable hanging out with you. And thank God for them Beverly Hillbillies, or how would we have any freedoms?
Or any oil.
Sorry.
Right, out loud. I mean, it,
right,
you know,
right.
It's the oil that keeps us free. What's going on here? I got some weird stuff going on. I got about a minute left, and I'm not going to be able to turn the show off.
Oh, no.
It's like radio at its best. So what we do in those instances, when we get a bad screen and we're having technical difficulties, we just hang up the phone.
Well, I've got it open. I can take care of it for you if you need.
Yep. Well, I'd like to take folks out. Actually, I'm back now. I came back.
Oh, good.
I'm gonna scroll through our list because I like to support our good friend Dave Bray, and he did the Star Spangled Banner live in Pittsburgh, an a cappella version. As I scroll through the switchboard to find the song. I also would like to send people over to cleverpreppers.com. It's a alternate media, social media site for those who are getting ready for the fan. Like when Hurricane Matthew blows through. He's going to be blowing through here any day now, and it's going to be taking us out. I guess it took a little turn to the left. Ladies and gentlemen, until we meet again this Thursday with the Conservative's Perspective at 7, James Bostic, followed by me, the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Good night, God bless America, and dig this. Dave Gray.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. You ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see my little dawn's early light? What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Or the land.